The Fisherman and the Little Fish. A fisherman who lived on the produce of his nets, one day caught a single small fish, as the result of his day's labor. The fish, panting convulsively, thus entreated for his life, "O sir, what good can I be to you, and how little am I worth? I am not yet come to my full size. Pray spare my life, and put me back into the sea. I shall soon become a large fish fit for the tables of the rich, and then you can catch me again, and make a handsome profit of me." The fisherman replied, "I should indeed be a very simple fellow if, for the chance of a greater uncertain profit, I were to forego my present certain gain." The Hunter and the Woodman. A hunter, not very bold, was searching for the tracks of a lion. He asked a man felling oaks in the forest, if he had seen any marks of his footsteps, or knew where his lair was. "I will," said the man, "at once show you the lion himself." The hunter, turning very pale and chattering with his teeth from fear, replied, "No, thank you. I did not ask that. It is his track only I am in search of, not the lion himself." The hero is brave in deeds as well as words. The Wild Boar and the Fox. A wild boar stood under a tree, and rubbed his tusks against the trunk. A fox passing by asked him why he thus sharpened his teeth, when there was no danger threatening from either huntsman or hound. He replied, "I do it advisedly, for it would never do to have to sharpen my weapons just at the time I ought to be using them." The Lion in a Farmyard. A lion entered a farmyard. The farmer, wishing to catch him, shut the gate. When the lion found that he could not escape, he flew upon the sheep and killed them, and then attacked the oxen. The farmer, beginning to be alarmed for his own safety, opened the gate and released the lion. On his departure, the farmer grievously lamented the destruction of his sheep and oxen, but his wife, who had been a spectator to all that took place, said, "On my word, you are rightly served, for how could you for a moment think of shutting up a lion along with you in your farmyard, when you know that you shake in your shoes, if you only hear his roar at a distance?" Mercury and the Sculptor. Mercury once determined to learn, in what esteem he was held among mortals. For this purpose he assumed the character of a man, and visited in this disguise a sculptor's studio. Having looked at various statues, he demanded the price of two figures of Jupiter and Juno. When the sum at which they were valued was named, he pointed to a figure of himself, saying to the sculptor, "You will certainly want much more for this, as it is the statue of the messenger of the gods, and author of all your gain." The sculptor replied, "Well, if you will buy these, I'll fling you that into the bargain." The Swan and the Goose. A certain rich man bought in the market a goose and a swan. He fed the one for his table, and kept the other for the sake of its song. When the time came for killing the goose, the cook went to get him at night, when it was dark, and he was not able to distinguish one bird from the other. By mistake he caught the swan instead of the goose. The swan, threatened with death, burst forth into song and thus made himself known by his voice, and preserved his life by his melody. The Swollen Fox. A very hungry fox, seeing some bread and meat left by shepherds in the hollow of an oak, crept into the hole and made a hearty meal. When he finished, he was so full that he was not able to get out, and began to groan and lament his fate. Another fox passing by heard his cries, and coming up, inquired the cause of his complaining. On learning what had happened, he said to him, "Ah, you will have to remain there, my friend, until you become such as you were when you crept in, and then you will easily get out." The Fox and the Woodcutter. A fox, running before the hounds, came across a woodcutter felling an oak, and begged him to show him a safe hiding place. The woodcutter advised him to take shelter in his own hut, so the fox crept in and hid himself in a corner. The huntsman soon came up with his hounds, and inquired of the woodcutter if he had seen the fox. He declared that he had not seen him, and yet pointed, all the time he was speaking, to the hut, where the fox lay hidden. The huntsman took no notice of the signs, but believing his word, hastened forward in the chase. As soon as they were well away, the fox departed without taking any notice of the woodcutter, whereon he called to him and reproached him, saying, "You ungrateful fellow, you owe your life to me, and yet you leave me without a word of thanks." The fox replied, "Indeed, I should have thanked you fervently, if your deeds had been as good as your words, and if your hands had not been traitors to your speech." The Birdcatcher, the Partridge, and the Cock. A birdcatcher was about to sit down to a dinner of herbs, when a friend unexpectedly came in. The bird trap was quite empty, as he had caught nothing, and he had to kill a pied partridge, which he had tamed for a decoy. The bird entreated earnestly for his life, "What would you do without me when next you spread your nets? Who would chirp you to sleep, or call for you the covey of answering birds?" The birdcatcher spared his life, and determined to pick out a fine young cock just attaining to his comb. But the cock expostulated in piteous tones from his perch, "If you kill me, who will announce to you the appearance of the dawn? Who will wake you to your daily tasks, or tell you when it is time to visit the bird trap in the morning?" He replied, "What you say is true. You are a capital bird at telling the time of day. But my friend and I must have our dinners. Necessity knows no law." The Monkey and the Fisherman. A monkey perched upon a lofty tree saw some fishermen casting their nets into a river, and narrowly watched their proceedings. The fishermen after a while gave up fishing, and on going home to dinner left their nets upon the bank. The monkey, who is the most imitative of animals, descended from the treetop and endeavored to do as they had done. Having handled the net, he threw it into the river, but became tangled in the meshes and drowned. With his last breath he said to himself, "I am rightly served, for what business had I, who had never handled the net, to try and catch fish?" The Flea and the Wrestler. A flea settled upon the bare foot of a wrestler and bit him, causing the man to call loudly upon Hercules for help. When the flea a second time hopped upon his foot, he groaned and said, "O Hercules! If you will not help me against a flea, how can I hope for your assistance against greater antagonists?" The Two Frogs. Two frogs dwelt in the same pool. When the pool dried up under the summer's heat, they left it and set out together for another home. As they went along they chanced to pass a deep well, amply supplied with water, and when they saw it, one of the frogs said to the other, "Let us descend and make our abode in this well, it will furnish us with shelter and food." The other replied with greater caution, "But suppose the water should fail us? How can we get out again from so great a depth? Do nothing without a regard to the consequences." The Cat and the Mice. A certain house was overrun with mice. A cat, discovering this, made her way into it, and began to catch and eat them one by one. Fearing for their lives, the mice kept themselves close in their holes. The cat was no longer able to get at them, and perceived that she must tempt them forth by some device. For this purpose she jumped upon a peg, and suspending herself from it, pretended to be dead. One of the mice, peeping stealthily out, saw her and said, "Ah, my good madam, even though you should turn into a meal bag, we will not come near you." The Lion, the Bear, and the Fox. A lion and a bear seized a kid at the same moment, and fought fiercely for its possession. When they had fearfully lacerated each other and were faint from the long combat, they lay down exhausted with fatigue. A fox, who had gone round them at a distance several times, saw them both stretched on the ground with the kid lying untouched in the middle. He ran in between them, and seizing the kid scampered off as fast as he could. The lion and the bear saw him, but not being able to get up, said, "Woe be to us, that we should have fought, and belabored ourselves only to serve the turn of a fox. It sometimes happens that one man has all the toil, and another all the profit." The Doe and the Lion. A doe hard-pressed by hunters sought refuge in a cave belonging to a lion. The lion concealed himself on seeing her approach, but when she was safe within the cave, sprang upon her and tore her to pieces. "Woe is me," exclaimed the doe, "who have escaped from man, only to throw myself into the mouth of a wild beast in avoiding one evil. Care must be taken not to fall into another." The Farmer and the Fox. A farmer, who bore a grudge against a fox for robbing his poultry yard, caught him at last, and being determined to take an ample revenge, tied some rope well soaked in oil to his tail, and set it on fire. The fox by a strange fatality rushed to the fields of the farmer who had captured him. It was the time of the wheat harvest, but the farmer reaped nothing that year and returned home grieving sorely. The Seagull and the Kite. A seagull, having bolted down too large a fish, burst its deep gullet bag, and laid down on the shore to die. A kite saw him and exclaimed, "You richly deserve your fate, for a bird of the air has no business to seek its food from the sea. Every man should be content to mind his own business." The Philosopher, the Ants, and Mercury. A philosopher witnessed from the shore the shipwreck of a vessel, of which the crew and passengers were all drowned. He inveighed against the injustice of Providence, which would for the sake of one criminal perchance sailing in the ship allow so many innocent persons to perish. As he was indulging in these reflections, he found himself surrounded by a whole army of ants, near whose nest he was standing. One of them climbed up and stung him, and he immediately trampled them all to death with his foot. Mercury presented himself, and striking the philosopher with his wand, said, "And are you indeed to make yourself a judge of the dealings of Providence, who hast thyself in a similar manner treated these poor ants?" The Mouse and the Bull. A bull was bitten by a mouse and, angered by the wound, tried to capture him. But the mouse reached his hole in safety. Though the bull dug into the walls with his horns, he tired before he could rout out the mouse, and crouching down, went to sleep outside the hole. The mouse peeped out, crept furtively up his flank, and again biting him, retreated to his hole. The bull rising up, and not knowing what to do, was sadly perplexed. At which the mouse said, "The great do not always prevail. There are times when the small and lowly are the strongest to do mischief." The Lion and the Hare. A lion came across a hare, who was fast asleep. He was just in the act of seizing her, when a fine young hart trotted by, and he left the hare to follow him. The hare, scared by the noise, awoke and scudded away. The lion was unable after a long chase to catch the hart, and returned to feed upon the hare. On finding that the hare also had run off, he said, "I am rightly served, for having let go of the food that I had in my hand for the chance of obtaining more." The Peasant and the Eagle. A peasant found an eagle captured in a trap, and much admiring the bird, set him free. The eagle did not prove ungrateful to his deliverer, for seeing the peasant sitting under a wall which was not safe, he flew toward him and with his talons snatched a bundle from his head. When the peasant rose in pursuit, the eagle let the bundle fall again. Taking it up, the man returned to the same place, to find that the wall under which he had been sitting had fallen to pieces, and he marveled at the service rendered him by the eagle. The Image of Mercury and the Carpenter. A very poor man, a carpenter by trade, had a wooden image of Mercury, before which he made offerings day by day, and begged the idol to make him rich, but in spite of his entreaties he became poorer and poorer. At last, being very angry, he took his image down from its pedestal, and dashed it against the wall. When its head was knocked off, out came a stream of gold, which the carpenter quickly picked up and said, "Well, I think thou art altogether contradictory and unreasonable, for when I paid you honor, I reaped no benefits, but now that I maltreat you I am loaded with an abundance of riches." The Bull and the Goat. A bull, escaping from a lion, hid in a cave, which some shepherds had recently occupied. As soon as he entered, a he-goat left in the cave sharply attacked him with his horns. The bull quietly addressed him, "Butt away as much as you will. I have no fear of you, but of the lion. Let that monster go away and I will soon let you know what is the respective strength of a goat and a bull. It shows an evil disposition to take advantage of a friend in distress. The Dancing Monkeys. A prince had some monkeys trained to dance. Being naturally great mimics of men's actions, they showed themselves most apt pupils, and when arrayed in their rich clothes and masks, they danced as well as any of the courtiers. The spectacle was often repeated with great applause, till on one occasion a courtier, bent on mischief, took from his pocket a handful of nuts and threw them upon the stage. The monkeys at the sight of the nuts forgot their dancing, and became as indeed they were monkeys instead of actors. Pulling off their masks and tearing their robes, they fought with one another for the nuts. The dancing spectacle thus came to an end amidst the laughter and ridicule of the audience. The Fox and the Leopard. The fox and the leopard disputed which was the more beautiful of the two. The leopard exhibited one by one the various spots which decorated his skin. But the fox, interrupting him, said, "And how much more beautiful than you am I, who am decorated, not in body, but in mind." The Monkeys and Their Mother. The monkey, it is said, has two young ones at each birth. The mother fondles one and nurtures it with the greatest affection and care, but hates and neglects the other. It happened once that the young one which was caressed and loved was smothered by the too great affection of the mother, while the despised one was nurtured and reared in spite of the neglect to which it was exposed. The best intentions will not always ensure success. The Oaks and Jupiter. The Oaks presented a complaint to Jupiter, saying, "We bear for no purpose the burden of life, as of all the trees that grow we are the most continually in peril of the axe." Jupiter made answer, "You have only to thank yourselves for the misfortunes to which you are exposed, for if you did not make such excellent pillars and posts, and prove yourselves so serviceable to the carpenters and the farmers, the axe would not so frequently be laid to your roots." The Hare and the Hound. A hound started a hare from his lair, but after a long run, gave up the chase. A goatherd, seeing him stop, mocked him, saying, "The little one is the best runner of the two." The hound replied, "You do not see the difference between us. I was only running for a dinner, but he for his life." The Traveler and Fortune. A traveler wearied from a long journey lay down, overcome with fatigue, on the very brink of a deep well. Just as he was about to fall into the water, Dame Fortune, it is said, appeared to him and waking him from his slumber thus addressed him, "Good sir, pray wake up, for if you fall into the well, the blame will be thrown on me, and I shall get an ill name among mortals, for I find that men are sure to impute their calamities to me, however much by their own folly they have really brought them on themselves. Everyone is more or less master of his own fate." The Bald Knight. A bald knight, who wore a wig, went out to hunt. A sudden puff of wind blew off his hat and wig, at which a loud laugh rang forth from his companions. He pulled up his horse, and with great glee joined in the joke by saying, "What a marvel it is that hares, which are not mine, should fly from me, when they have forsaken even the man on whose head they grew." The Shepherd and the Dog. A shepherd penning his sheep in the fold for the night was about to shut up a wolf with them, when his dog perceiving the wolf said, "Master, how can you expect the sheep to be safe if you admit a wolf into the fold?" The Lamp. A lamp, soaked with too much oil and flaring brightly, boasted that it gave more light than the sun. Then a sudden puff of wind arose, and the lamp was immediately extinguished. Its owner lit it again, and said, "Boast no more, but henceforth be content to give thy light in silence. Know that not even the stars need to be relit." The Lion, the Fox, and the Ass. The Lion, the Fox, and the Ass entered into an agreement to assist each other in the chase. Having secured a large booty, the Lion on their return from the forest asked the Ass to allot his due portion to each of the three partners in the treaty. The ass carefully divided the spoil into three equal shares and modestly requested the two others to make the first choice. The lion, bursting out into a great rage, devoured the ass. Then he requested the fox to do him the favor to make a division. The fox accumulated all that they had killed into one large heap and left to himself the smallest possible morsel. The lion said, "Who has taught you, my very excellent fellow, the art of division? You are perfect to a fraction." He replied, "I learned it from the ass, by witnessing his fate. Happy is the man who learns from the misfortunes of others." The bull, the lioness, and the wild boar hunter. A bull, finding a lion's cub asleep, gored him to death with his horns. The lioness came up and bitterly lamented the death of her whelp. A wild boar hunter, seeing her distress, stood at a distance and said to her, "Think how many men there are who have reason to lament the loss of their children, whose deaths have been caused by you." The oak and the woodcutters. The woodcutter cut down a mountain oak and split it in pieces, making wedges of its own branches for dividing the trunk. The oak said with a sigh, "I do not care about the blows of the axe aimed at my roots, but I do grieve at being torn in pieces by these wedges made from my own branches. Misfortunes springing from ourselves are the hardest to bear." The hen and the golden eggs. A cottager and his wife had a hen that laid a golden egg every day. They supposed that the hen must contain a great lump of gold in its inside, and in order to get the gold they killed it. Having done so, they found to their surprise that the hen differed in no respect from their other hens. The foolish pair, thus hoping to become rich all at once, deprived themselves of the gain, of which they were assured day by day. The ass and the frogs. An ass, carrying a load of wood, passed through a pond. As he was crossing through the water, he lost his footing, stumbled and fell, and not being able to rise on account of his load, groaned heavily. Some frogs frequenting the pool heard his lamentation, and said, "What would you do if you had to live here always as we do, when you make such a fuss about a mere fall into the water?" Men often bear little grievances with less courage than they do large misfortunes. The crow and the raven. A crow was jealous of the raven, because he was considered a bird of good omen and always attracted the attention of men, who noted by his flight the good or evil course of future events. Seeing some travelers approaching, the crow flew up into a tree, and perching herself on one of the branches, cawed as loudly as she could. The travelers turned towards the sound and wondered what it foreboded, when one of them said to his companion, "Let us proceed on our journey, my friend, for it is only the call of a crow, and her cry, you know, is no omen." Those who assume a character which does not belong to them only make themselves ridiculous. The trees and the axe. A man came into a forest and asked the trees to provide him a handle for his axe. The trees consented to his request and gave him a young ash tree. No sooner had the man fitted a new handle to his axe from it than he began to use it and quickly felled with his strokes the noblest giants of the forest. An old oak, lamenting when too late the destruction of his companions, said to a neighboring cedar, "The first step has lost us all. If we had not given up the rights of the ash, we might yet have retained our own privileges, and have stood for ages." The crab and the fox. A crab, forsaking the seashore, chose a neighboring green meadow as its feeding ground. A fox came across him, and being very hungry ate him up. Just as he was on the point of being eaten, the crab said, "I well deserve my fate, for what business had I on the land, when by my nature and habits I am only adapted for the sea? Contentment with our lot is an element of happiness." The woman and her hen. A woman possessed a hen that gave her an egg every day. She often pondered how she might obtain two eggs daily instead of one, and at last, to gain her purpose, determined to give the hen a double allowance of barley. From that day the hen became fat and sleek, and never once laid another egg. The ass and the old shepherd. A shepherd, watching his ass feeding in a meadow, was alarmed all of a sudden by the cries of the enemy. He appealed to the ass to fly with him, lest they should both be captured, but the animal lazily replied, "Why should I, pray? Do you think it likely the conqueror will place on me two sets of panniers?" "No," rejoined the shepherd. "Then," said the ass, "as long as I carry the panniers, what matters it to me, whom I serve in a change of government?" The poor change nothing beyond the name of their master. The kites and the swans. The kites of olden times, as well as the swans, had the privilege of song. But having heard the neigh of the horse, they were so enchanted with the sound, that they tried to imitate it, and, in trying to neigh, they forgot how to sing. The desire for imaginary benefits often involves the loss of present blessings. The wolves and the sheepdogs. The wolves thus address the sheepdogs, "Why should you, who are like us in so many things, not be entirely of one mind with us, and live with us as brothers should? We differ from you in one point only. We live in freedom, but you bow down to and slave for men, who in return for your services flog you with whips and put collars on your necks. They make you also guard their sheep, and while they eat the mutton throw only the bones to you. If you will be persuaded by us, you will give us the sheep, and we will enjoy them in common, till we all are surfeited." The dogs listened favorably to these proposals, and, entering the den of the wolves, they were set upon and torn to pieces. The hares and the foxes. The hares waged war with the eagles, and called upon the foxes to help them. They replied, "We would willingly have helped you, if we had not known who you were, and with whom you were fighting. Count the cost before you commit yourselves." The bowman and lion. A very skillful bowman went to the mountains in search of game, but all the beasts of the forest fled at his approach. The lion alone challenged him to combat. The bowman immediately shot out an arrow and said to the lion, "I send thee my messenger, that from him thou mayest learn what I myself shall be when I assail thee." The wounded lion rushed away in great fear, and when a fox, who had seen it all happen, told him to be of good courage and not to back off at the first attack, he replied, "You counsel me in vain, for if he sends so fearful a messenger, how shall I abide the attack of the man himself, be on guard against men, who can strike from a distance?" The camel. When man first saw the camel, he was so frightened at his vast size that he ran away. After a time, perceiving the meekness and gentleness of the beast's temper, he summoned courage enough to approach him. Soon afterwards, observing that he was an animal altogether deficient in spirit, he assumed such boldness as to put a bridle in his mouth, and to let a child drive him. Use serves to overcome dread. The wasp and the snake. A wasp seated himself upon the head of a snake and, striking him unceasingly with his stings, wounded him to death. The snake, being in great torment and not knowing how to rid himself of his enemy, saw a wagon heavily laden with wood, and went and purposely placed his head under the wheels, saying, "At least my enemy and I shall perish together." The dog and the hare. A hound, having started a hare on the hillside, pursued her for some distance, at one time biting her with his teeth, as if he would take her life, and at another fawning upon her, as if in play with another dog. The hare said to him, "I wish you would act sincerely by me, and show yourself in your true colors. If you are a friend, why do you bite me so hard? If an enemy, why do you fawn on me?" "No one can be a friend, if you know not whether to trust or distrust him,"